Border discussions with Mexico. Add to it the uncertainty of what's just happening in general with the markets. All weighed in on what we saw for a Tuesday trade. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joins us, and we're going to dive in first to what was the big turnaround to the negative on this cattle complex, and that had a lot to do with border talk, Mike, with Mexico.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we had talked before going on air together, and we had talked about the Secretary of Agriculture talking about President Trump being very focused, quote-unquote, on reopening the border, and that she was talking about every day that goes by, we get a little bit closer, quote unquote, to reopening that border. But that was out at 6 o'clock in the morning on the news wires central time, Susan. And so the break in the trade didn't happen until closer to the beginning of mid session. And so I started thinking, well, it probably isn't this news. It's probably something closer to maybe the fear of the Supreme Court decision being overturned as far as overturning the Trump tariff policy. And all of a sudden we see a bunch of Brazilian meat come in and other meat come in, or is it because the SNAP funding issue was brought back up right about the same time? So this is a really critical point and a really critical pivot in the trade on Tuesday, because we had started out making sense in the market that with the border not opening, feeders regained their buy. The fat cattle took a second seat or a back seat to the feeder cattle strength, and we started to build that feeder fat spread. And then come around early mid-session, we reversed that completely. Feeders, again, led the downside, fat cattle trying to support it. And the reason I'm going down this path so directly is because we're at a very, very critical point, I think, technically, and when it comes to the funds and how they trade momentum and sentiment in many instances. The October lows in feeders of 334 even and fat cattle of 226 and a quarter. We got very close to those levels on Tuesday. We don't want to take those out, especially on a weekly basis, in my opinion, because if we do, it looks like a double top formation to me in fat cattle. And we also break through a key channel support level. And those fat cattle have been a real boon to the feeder cattle holding in there. Throughout the month of October, we lost about 8.5% in fat cattle off the highs in the month of October, but we lost almost 12.5% in feeder cattle.
So what's your takeaway on consumer demand, not only from a cattle perspective, to the hogs that continue to struggle and just kind of sitting in the background?
Yeah, there is really no slowdown in the consumption right now. And this is coming from what's still being published by USDA when it comes to their weekly beef retail sales updates on Fridays. In fact, the pork side of the equation probably has been a little bit weaker throughout the last 30 days, if you ask me, compared to the beef, especially when it comes to the ground beef and the hamburger featuring, and the fact that seasonally we're coming back on the roast side of the equation. I really continue, and we've talked about this for most of 2025, I really continue to think that as soon as we have a significant setback, maybe even a top in Wall Street and the equities markets, and we start to feel pain in 401ks, that's when we start to worry, I think, about the consumption side of the equation. And I think that's when I really want to be careful about not having hedges in place, if I don't have hedges in place, especially in the deferred contracts. And I still have some hedges in place for the rest of fourth quarter and first quarter of 2026. But I haven't added to at this point, because I actually thought coming into Tuesday after Monday's price action and finding out we've got a cattle on feed report this month, that the trade would start to build a premium in the cattle market, assuming that the supply numbers could be pretty dramatically low compared to the fact that we didn't get anything, haven't gotten anything since September. So I was walking into this week thinking we've done enough damage. We're holding on to consumption. Let's put in a low here and then see what the cattle on feed report says. Around the 20th, 21st, I believe it is.
And it is definitely nice to be able to see some of those reports coming back, especially the ones that got moved from November 10th to November 14th on a grain perspective.
Yeah, it really is. And I think this is where, again, the fact that we've got this news coming out on last Saturday, we also got some new White House information, details on soybean purchases by China. And the White House specifically said 6 million tons in November, 6 million tons in December. I was under the impression they were talking marketing year when we were in the negotiations, but it's clear now that they were talking calendar year. And so the increase in the demand side looked really good. But I think by the time we got to Tuesday, the trade started to think about, well, where is that demand at? Why aren't we getting that 6 million metric tons? So thank goodness for the wheat market, because the beans really took it on the chin. They haven't done any technical damage at this point, but if you finish and close below $11, you pretty much have to hold around the 1070 area, if you ask me, Susan, on a weekly basis.
So let's talk about those soybeans, because it seems like there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, Mike, when it comes to trade with China and with the government shutdown. Are we really seeing those purchases that everybody's rumored to talk about?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Pacific Northwest bid in Portland would say, yeah, we are getting those purchases because it crossed over $12 a bushel. Right now, both the Gulf and out of the Pacific Northwest here in this country, we have matched, if not gone a little bit over, the Brazilian Paranagua price of around $445 a ton. And so I think that the fact that the futures market has helped rally and the basis levels have come around, we are at Brazilian price levels again. And that would suggest, yes, we've gotten some business. We just don't know about it yet. And I think that's what the trade's really trying to walk through. But as I said, it was really nice to see the wheat market hold in there, Susan, on Tuesday. Had it not, I think the downside in the soy complex could have been a lot more, especially given that the bean oil started to track pretty closely with the weakening crude oil market.
What are you seeing overall, though? I mean, we're day number 35. This kind of set, unfortunately, the record. We are getting the inkling of some reports, as we just talked about. But overall, how do you see this continued shutdown affecting the way our market trade happens?
You know, for me, all of 2025, when it comes to policy, whether it's trade or whether it's domestic policy, has been about the currency markets. And this government shutdown and the trade deal with the U.S.-China has really put a bid in back in place for the U.S. dollar. And we actually hit a new six-month high in the dollar index. And I'll go back again and say, with crude oil down and the dollar up at a new six-month high, I was astounded that the wheat market was able to go up and go to the highest levels in the December soft red wheat, getting to almost 550. That's the highest level for December contract since last July 30th. And I think this goes back to the Australian and Argentine crop areas are getting too wet at this point. And I think we took a lot of premium out of the wheat market because we were thinking those two countries were going to supply a lot of wheat really, really soon. I think maybe the trade's second guessing themselves. But if we could keep the wheat underneath us, then maybe we can find quite a bit more support. And this long liquidation pressure could be short-lived, especially with the fact that the wheat corn spread is back close to $1.20. You start to go above $1.25, $1.50, wheat premium to corn, all of a sudden you get the wheat back to a food grain, and then all of a sudden you can start seeing the corn being lifted by the wheat instead of what we saw throughout the month of October, wheat pressuring the corn.
All right, sounds good. Mike Zuzulo joining us. A quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. As mentioned, it's Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. That is our Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.